Selwyn Manning Summer Scoop on Kiwi.
And live from New York, Selwyn Manning joins us. Selwyn, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Wallace. How are you? Good,
thank you very much. And you must be freezing your butt off there.
It's pretty cold. There's snow everywhere, Wallace. Supposed to be a bit more snow later today.
Yeah. It gets cold in winter, doesn't it, New York?
It certainly does when the wind's coming down from the northeast and north. It's pretty freezing, yeah, that's for sure. You can feel it. It picks up a couple of knots, the wind, and goes right through. You like that Pogue song about Christmas Day.
where are you? Where are you calling? Where are we? Where have we got you?
In the centre of Manhattan, at a place called Washington Square, which is kind of the right near the New York University of New York. So it's kind of an interesting place. You know, it's certainly got a lot of culture around here, right in the heart of Greenwich Village and Little Italy kind of area.
Yeah. Now, we're calling you on what's known in the state, in the US, as President's Day. Can you tell us a little bit? It's a public holiday, is it?
Yeah, it is. Now, here it's still Sunday, of course, but Monday is President's Day.
Right.
It's a kind of an annual national holiday where the whole United States kind of has its time off.
Mm.
And, it's a strange thing. Coming over, I was expecting to see quite a bit of propaganda about the president and all of that type of thing, the current one, you know, but it really isn't. You know, the only overt kind of presence of President's Day is kind of the advertising on the television and in the newspapers and magazines, things from drug companies to cars kind of pushing their specials for President's Day, and that's about it, to be honest. Well,
right, okay. Does it have you got any feeling of what it actually means to the general public, or is it just a day off? I guess
it's a day off. With it being President's Day, if we kind of look at the current president, and it's one that's going to be a bit of a creepy one for him, but the Congress here has been asked to sign a non-binding resolution attached to giving extra funds for more troops in Iraq. And I mean, you and I have talked about this, Wallace, and I guess the readers, the listeners back home will know a fair bit about it. But Bush's the Congress has kind of said that no way is it going to kind of put a non-binding resolution through that gives Bush the authorization and the right just to flood more U.S. soldiers and young people over to Iraq.
Mm.
Now, Bush has said that if Congress restricts it to a binding resolution, that's basically like targeting the funding in specific areas, that would no doubt exclude putting more grunts on the ground. Then he says all that will do will take resources away from the U.S. troops that are trying to fight this war. I guess what he was saying there is that he's going to send more troops whether or not Congress likes it or not.
Mm.
And if they trim the money back, well, it's just going to hurt the troops. And that's how he's politically kind of maneuvering. But the Democrats here, they lead the Congress, of course, and they're firm in their resolve, really. And they're kind of saying that they'll support the troops that are there, but they will no way will they support an escalation in U.S. numbers. And even some Republicans have crossed over in this debate, and they're saying, too, that no extra resource, and there's no way they want to send more U.S. guys over there to fight what they call an Iraqi civil war.
Right.
So really, it's a constitutional corner that Bush has been backed into. So we'll have been President's Day here, you know, local time tomorrow, but of course, back home in New Zealand, it's Monday already. Bush has got a creepy one on his hands.
It's interesting to know where his support comes from then. I know that there are some very conservative think tanks like the American Enterprise Institute which are firmly backing him, but it's even this issue has been so controversial that it's even driven a wedge between hardline supporters, for example, the Pentagon and senior military chiefs of staff who are saying, we're not into this anymore.
You know, he has been criticised in many quarters, I think, in the Republican Party for his handling in the last year or so of that Iraq war. And that's starting to filter through. And I guess what is happening at the moment, Wallace, is because everybody's juxtapositioning to try and see who's going to actually run for the Republicans and who's going to run for the Democrats in the presidential election, that a lot of lobbying with the conglomerates and the big money wielders and the think tanks is going on. And I guess so that's where the polarisation is going on. There'll be wedge strategy tactics going on left, right and centre over here.
Mm.
You can even see Ralph Nader is starting to actually talk up the rhetoric about he's positioning to be a spoiler as an independent presidential candidate should Hillary Clinton get the nod from the Democrats. So she'll have a hard one on her hands should she get that far herself.
Mm. Now, are there any speeches that are made? I mean, this was a George Washington thing, wasn't it? The President's Day that was inaugurated by him and for him. Does the President Bush make a State of the Nation speech on television on that day, the President's Day?
I'm expecting that. Yeah, people are saying that's the case. He has a fairly regular State of the Nation kind of spiel via radio address, and also breaks into the television stations over here. That's usually timed for like a Monday local time, and one would expect that would it be President's Day, we're going to get some sort of thing coming out of Bush on that. Obviously, he will raise this. As far as solidarity and the need for the United States troops not to be left on their own over there, and that's the way he's pitching it politically, and no doubt that's the way it'll go. And the thing is, remember that he did his first press conference to the Washington Press Corps last week, the first since about the 20th of December.
Right.
So he's not frequently out there with the press, but as far as a monologue directly to the Americans via their broadcast mediums, he's quite a... He utilizes that an awful lot.
Right. Talking to Sarah Manning live from New York, live from Manhattan. And what's where? I mean, you got to arrive from JFK to Manhattan in the back of a jet black Lincoln. Pretty mafia of you, Sarah. How did that come about?
Well, you know, it's the land of enterprise, as they say here. And I guess I was the victim of enterprise, but it ended up being a cap fare, so it was actually quite cheap compared to what the meter ones are. But yeah, no, that's right. Wallace, got a ride to Manhattan from JFK, like you said, in the back of a jet black Lincoln. It was 60 miles per hour on the highway coming in, and crossing the Brooklyn Bridge was hair-raising. I can tell you, I was sitting in the back. I realised at that point that I felt very Don Corleone. What a way to kind of enter into Greenwich Village, you know. If you pulled up in that kind of style on Ponsonby Road, I can tell you there'd be a few eyes turning your way, but... Over here, you know, that kind of entrance didn't even turn a gaze, I can tell you. You're just one in the crowd.
Yes. Now, obviously, it's always hard to gauge the mood. I mean, it's almost a ridiculous question, really, to gauge the mood of a city, even of a sort of tiny sort of precinct. But I guess you can't really, you haven't had enough time there to engage with locals about what they think of the political crisis, the Iraq war, and the situation there.
Well, a few interesting things. You know, just passing time. Borat's showing everybody, I suppose, a little bit just how phobic some of the New Yorkers can be as people from outside turn up and start trying to talk to them. But at sprint speed. But,
hey, from New Zealand. Yeah. From New Zealand. I love this country.
Get a bit of that. But little indicators around. I mean, I'm surprised there isn't such patriotism that's been shown around the place. Looking here, right at the moment, I can see only two flags flying on all the buildings around here. Now, I guess New York is a different kettle of fish to what you'd expect out in the heartland or in the Bible Belt and areas like that,
down
south and what have you. There's a preoccupation of New York here. Of course, it's a very insular city while it's so big. Having a slice of New York pizza, I suppose it's customary to do so, isn't it? I noticed on the board there, you know, little things like all these little kind of A4 printout adverts with what people were doing. They had the sign there, and it says, van for hire, driver for hire, anti-war driver for anti-war people. So, it's quite interesting. There's something to be made out of anything over here by the look of it. But, it doesn't, you know, for all the rhetoric that we get pushed offshore from here, coming across, apart from the security extremes at the airport, it doesn't feel like a country that's at war with the rest of the world. people are generally just doing what we do back home.
Sawan, Manning, live from New York. Lovely for you to join us, Sawan.
Okay, well, it's always a pleasure.
Speak next week.